5:07 in the third quarter. Dropping. It's a blitz. Blake scrambles away from it. Rolling to his right. Looking into the end zone. Looking. Fires it into the end zone. No side. Touchdown. There's now a touchdown. That's Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles fires to the middle of the field. Caught by Allen Robinson. That's a first down. He hit A-Rob in the middle of the field inside the 20-yard line. Got it down to the 18-yard line. First down, Jacksonville.
Now I can say it with confidence. That one takes Allen Robinson over 1,000 yards receiving. Congratulations, A-Rob.
You know what you do when Allen Hurns is hurt? Throw it to A-Rob more.
First and goal, Jags from the 8-yard line. Shotgun for Bortles. Rolling to the right. Blake looks. Pump fake. Looks. Got away from the defender. Fires into the end zone. Diving attempt by Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville! Bortles to A-Rob for the score!
He is an absolute monster!
Second down and goal, Jags from the 7-yard line. They trail 42-32. Dropping, looking, it's a blitz, throws to the middle of the field. That is caught for the touchdown! Allen Robinson, a 7-yard touchdown catch from Blake Bortles, and the Jags are battling back!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Good morning. I'm not even going to guess what time it is in any time zone right now. I know we're awake, and as somebody stopped by our table a moment ago, he goes, have you had enough coffee? I don't know if there is enough coffee this morning, Tony. Not that I drink the coffee, but I don't know if there's enough caffeinated product to be ingested before noon Eastern time to keep me going for the next 4 hours beyond this program today. You know, last night was going to be a kind of a sedate night, right? what did we do the night before? Honestly, I'm losing track.
We went out with the Jags crew.
Yeah. That's right. So we might have had a few beverages thanks to Mr. Khan's expense account, which is fantastic. And tonight, obviously, you know, Friday night, we're going out. It's happening here in San Francisco. So, you know, last night, some of the folks with my Sirius XM crew took us all out to dinner, which was very nice of them. And, you know, we were wrapped up by like 8 o'clock.
By the way, breaking news.
Breaking news.
Roger Goodell has just dabbed.
Get out of here.
Yes.
Why? Why did he do that?
Courtesy of Mike Freeman.
He just did that?
Just dabbed, breaking news.
He just dabbed at 7:06 on the West Coast.
Is he doing his press conference or something?
I don't know
what is he's
doing.
He's probably not asleep right now. I don't know if he sleeps or not, but he may sleep hanging upside down.
Mike Freeman was just hanging out in his room, and it appeared to be a dab in his sleep.
He just rolled over.
He just tweeted out, Roger Goodell dabbed.
He just dabbed.
And then
I don't
snuck
know.
Back out of the room.
Don't start a room where you can't substantiate.
Goodell just dabbed.
All right, where were we on the dinner last night? We were hanging out with our traveling companions and our dinner companions. And all right, it was 8:03. I distinctly remember looking at my phone. I almost called it a watch,
honestly,
big square watch.
I would have been fine with going back to the room at 8:03.
8:03 would have been okay, but, you know.
It's been that kind of week.
Hey, guys, let's go have a cocktail, just a cocktail. And then all of a sudden it started flowing, and what was 5.5 hours later, which was 5.5 hours ago, I think, is when it finally wrapped up, and we've been down. It was about a 3-hour sleep night, but that's okay. We're here, Jaguars today. We're going to finish strong this week. Heavyweight champion of the world, two champions of the world, middleweight UFC champion and the heavyweight boxing champion of the world, Tony. You spoke with Deontay Wilder yesterday. We both spoke with Luke Rockhold. It does seem generally when you get these top-level combat sport types, they have a little bit of personality to them. They're a little bit crazy, you know?
Well, they got to be their own brand, right? I mean, it's a different kind of thing. Like, football is, everyone has their brand. When you're a big enough star, you have that kind of persona, you know, going for you. But it's still a team game, and you're relying on other people to make things happen. In these combat sports and fight sports, you're it. You're your mouthpiece. You're your brand. You're your picture. You are your attitude. You are your mouth. And these guys carry themselves that way. And in a sport where it's basically kill or be killed, that comes across every time we get the opportunity to talk to one of these guys. I love it every year when we come out here, the opportunity to sit down with some of these guys from some other sports, but especially the fight sports, just because of the personalities they have.
You know, I get to talk to today.
Who's that?
Alyssa Milano.
I know, you're
I
excited.
Get to talk to, I may even touch her actual skin. I may you know, inappropriate greeting, like a handshake, a firm look you in the eye type handshake.
I know Ken Griffey and his father were on with you yesterday.
Yes,
too,
they
right?
were. That was interesting because Ken Griffey Sr., I think, still has a rivalry with Ken Griffey Jr. from the sounds of it. I mean, it was just constant sniping back and forth. I'm sure good-natured to some degree, but right. I wasn't always sure, and I wish I could share with you the name of Ken Griffey Jr.'s fantasy football team from last year.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't. When you told me, I was like, are you serious?
I can't believe he told me
right.
what it was.
Oh, he's proud of that. Like, he couldn't. His wife was mad at him, but he's so proud to share the name of that team.
He was. Maybe if maybe if I follow you on Twitter, I'll DM it to you if you request it. I'm not going to say it on the airwaves, what Ken Griffey Jr. told me
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, not appropriate.
So it's fun. I think we saw some. I think Chris Hemsworth was here yesterday, wasn't
Liam.
He?
Liam.
Well, Liam Hemsworth was
here. The cast of Independence Day. Hacker would be proud.
Yeah, damn, I'm not
Jeff
as
Goldblum was just a couple tables down.
I was hoping the Thunder God would rain down havoc on us, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, Thor didn't come through the building. But Liam did, and I think Ryan Reynolds is expected to come through the building a little
Deadpool
bit later today.
He will be in the house today.
And
I heard
Olivia
possibly
Munn.
Two Chains could be here today.
Two Chains
we ain't,
could be in the house.
There's no way we're getting Two Chains on the program just simply because the entourage around Two Chains will be like 15 deep. All right?
I would talk to Two Chains in 2 seconds.
I would have mine.
Like, if he wanted to come over, I don't know, whatever, man. Bring it on, Two Chains.
But we got to get Two Chains to do a little Jaguars Today liner for us. Yeah. That's the goal today. I'm going to put that one on a difficulty scale of like a one percenter, pulling that one off, Tyler Devitt. If you want to cap a spectacular rookie season of Super Bowl coverage, that might be the one that puts you over the top today. So I'm excited. Alyssa Milano is one of my top 10 all time. And unlike Hacker, who has 50 in his top 5, I've got 10 in my top 10. I don't know who the other 9 are, all of them, but I know Alyssa Milano is one of them.
And I know ScarJo's in there.
ScarJo's number one. ScarJo's number one.
Which you may be seeing her tonight, right?
Maybe seeing her tonight.
Holding out hope.
Maybe have scored access to the Creative Artists Agency party that's being held in conjunction with Bleacher Report. And all I know is she is a Creative Artists Agency client. For all I know, she's on location in Zimbabwe filming something for Avengers 10. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm hoping. I'm going to hope that she's there tonight. Who do you think I want to see more, Scarlett Johansson or Derek Jeter?
Scarlett Johansson.
You're absolutely right. I've seen plenty of Jeter. He's got a lot of hits and all those things. I'll go to the Hall of Fame ceremony.
But I imagine you'll freak out to see either one of them.
I would not be upset with either one.
And the possibility at the CAA party of maybe buying Derek Jeter a drink.
Sure. Just not spilling one on him would be a step up
right.
for me at this point in time.
Mr. Jeter.
All right. Don't forget Super Bowl swag bag contest. Today's our last chance to really remind you about that because I have no idea if we'll be tweeting anything about that over the course of the weekend. We've picked up some interesting free stuff over the course of the week. That is for sure.
Yeah.
And you get a copy of everything that we've scored, and I'm not going to detail it all now, but we'll run down the whole inventory next week. What you've got to do, email Mike D at 1010XL.com. This is the only way you can enter. People are posting on my Facebook page. They're tweeting me. I'm not even looking at those. Mike D at 1010XL.com is the only way you can enter. Super Bowl swag bag contest. Tell us who's going to win the game. Make one prediction on something that happens in the game. And if both aspects come true, if you pick Carolina and you say Luke Kuechly will have a pick six and both of those come true, you go in a pile with all the correct double predictions and the prediction that we deem to be the least likely to have occurred
yes.
will win you the swag bag.
But you got to pick the right team.
You have to pick the right team
to
win.
That's the prereq.
That's
so
number
you
one.
You have to pick the right team and then make a prediction about the game.
Right.
And keep in mind, the more general your prediction, the more likely it is to come true. And often we get a bunch of whacked out predictions for the game, and they have absolutely no chance.
We typically
and
end up with no more than five.
Right. Word it carefully, because Mike is literal. So if you say that Peyton Manning will throw for 318 yards, then you mean Peyton Manning
right.
will throw for 318 yards.
If you say
yards.
At least 318 yards, that's a different story.
Right.
Then you get all the over
gotta
as
give
well.
Give yourself a chance.
Got to give yourself everyone wants to distinguish themselves as being the least likely. But you have to have it happen or else you have no chance whatsoever. So you're right, Tony. Only one entry per person So make it as general or as specific as you like. I really don't care because somebody's going to win the Super Bowl swag bag. And if nobody hits it, we'll just put all the entrants into a drawing and we'll pull one out at random and they will be awarded all the lovely scented candles. Who knew you could go to the Super Bowl and get a bunch of free scented candles?
Courtesy of ESPN and what, Tyler, Texas?
Is that right? Hey, you know what? It's your namesake. You should know, baby. All and right. Today's question today, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, is simply share with us your Super Bowl prediction. We'll give you hours at the end of the broadcast. Who's going to win? What's the score going to be? You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, or post it on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Thanks to St. John the Divine getting started early, sending us out here all week long. We appreciate the support of all the folks at St. John the Divine making our trip out to San Francisco possible. We'll tell you more about the Jacksonville Greek Festival, which is coming up later on this month at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium. Check out JacksGreekFest.com for more information on that. And Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. Underway with Fat Tony, with Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll hear from the heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder, coming up next, live from Radio Row in San Francisco, California. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt, we're all here in San Francisco, California, getting you ready for Super Bowl 50. Alert, please. If someone has seen Donna Murphy's good blue pen, not her average blue pens, there are plenty of those, their good blue pen, would you please bring it to her? It has gone missing.
What if there's a reward?
I suspect she doesn't think it went walking away on its own. So, station-wide email alert, Donna Murphy's good blue pen has gone missing. Please return it to her before there are consequences for all of us. Thank
She'll
you very
you
much. Duval Doom, everyone is apparently jealous of the Alyssa Milano interview that's going to come up later on. Duval Doom sent me a poster, a picture of the first poster he ever had, which is her posing with a hockey stick. She's a big sports fan. I want to know how old she is in that poster before I comment on it.
Right.
Also,
she looks about commando age in that.
You know, Duval Doom missed out on J.J. Watt here at Radio Row.
He did. His favorite player, which is nice for him. Brandon said, I like you, Mike, but I would drown you in the San Francisco Bay to meet Alyssa Milano. I would drown me in the Bay as well, Brandon, so you're in good company with that one. All right, Tony, set it up. Tell us what we're looking forward to here with Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, Deontay sat down with us yesterday here on Radio Row, and look, he's the heavyweight champ of the world. He's got a personality as big as the belt that he's carrying around with him these days. He's held on to it for an entire year, came back, and we shared a little bit about the goals that he has for the upcoming year. Radio Row Super Bowl 50, and joined right now by the undefeated 35-0, 34 of those wins coming by way of knockout, the heavyweight champion, Deontay Wilder. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, man, just chilling, man, enjoying the people, enjoying the environment. And I got to make a correction on you. I'm 36.
Yeah, well, man. Then they need to hand me the proper sheet, my man.
I know, they did. But it ain't your fault because, you know, I'm going to have to go around or two with whoever print that out. Somebody else had it wrong as well, too.
Yeah, as long as it ain't a round or two with me, brother. You can go a round or two with anybody else in this room,
man,
as long as it ain't
3 minutes in you, man.
I ain't got 20 seconds in me, man. Especially with you. You're a big man, heavyweight champion of the world. I know we got to talk to you last year here on Radio Row. Mm. So what have you been doing in the last year?
Oh, man, it's just traveling, seeing the world, doing a lot of marketing, trying to brand and stuff. Of course, fighting. You know, I told people once I become a champion, I want to be an active champion.
Yes.
And I hold my oath to that, and I'm looking forward to fighting even more many a time. I think that's the key to it. You know, once you're a champion, staying active so you can stay relevant, so people know who you are. You know, it's already, you know, the heavyweight division, my ultimate goal is to be the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. So when they say the heavyweight champion of the world, people relate only to one man, that's Deontay Wilder, instead of, all right, this guy got this belt, this one got this and this and this. It's too confusing for people. You know, and the heavyweight division is getting back exciting, man. It's coming along, and I can't wait to fulfill my goals and dreams of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I felt like I was reading a movie script there, you know, at the beginning of the introduction, you know, because every time I want to say undefeated, I want to say undisputed, Deontay.
Yeah.
I want those two U words to follow each other, and it sounds like you do too. So how do we make that happen?
Man, you know, how we make that happen is doing what I'm doing, keep fighting, keep lining up the right fights to get there. in my perfect world, this is how I see it going. I know Tyson Fury has the other remainings of the belts. He got a rematch clause with Klitschko. I think they may, you know, they're not in a rush to fight, so that may happen sometime mid to end of the year. So by that time, you know, by me being an active fighter, liking to fight, I'm going to get my mandatory out of the way, which is Alexander Povetkin. And once I get him out of the way, I want to go to Charles Martin, who has the IBF belt, get him out of the way. And by the time me and Fury fights or whoever has our Klitschko fight, we can officially unify the division once and for all. Hopefully all this happened this year. So top of 17, we'll have a
by the time you come back to Radio Row, brother, you can wear them all
there
down the aisle. I see the plan. I see the smile.
Yes.
Deontay lighting up right now talking about unifying all those belts. I know it's a long road to get there, my brother. I know last year you came, you had your hand wrapped. Mm. It was right after you won that championship.
Correct.
I asked you, what's going on with the hand, man?
You said
this is what happens when you pound a man in the face 80 times.
Most definitely.
So the hands look good right now.
Man, the hands are wonderful. You know, I was telling my trainer in my last camp, I'm like, man, my hand is 100% back. I can feel it, you know, because I used to hit the bags, the mitts, and different other things, and I would still feel that soreness, that it would feel the aching feeling in my hands.
Sure.
And my last camp, I'm like, I don't feel that no more. I don't feel that pain no more. I'm like, it's back. So I wanted to test it come my last fight, and it proved me right. You know, because it almost killed the man in the ring my last fight.
Man, I saw that shot, brother. That was something. You talk about putting a man's lights out.
For real. This is a dangerous sport. People don't understand, like, we risk our lives. Isn't it? You know, I pay my money to see this and then, but guess what? We pay a price that is priceless, you know, and that's our life, you know. And people don't understand how brutal this sport is. So, you know, I respect every fighter that steps in that ring. You know, you have to, no matter what record or who they are, you got to respect them, you know, because you just never know what the outcome is going to be. You never know you're going to get in that ring and get out the same way you got in there.
Sure.
You know, so.
Nah, I love the sport of boxing, man. I have for a long time. Sitting here with the heavyweight champ, Deontay Wilder, 36-0.
Right.
See, I got it. 36-0. And I'm guessing that's 35 knockouts, not 34.
Correct.
All right. So 36-0, 35 by way of knockout, Deontay Wilder here. And I know the nickname, the Bronze Bomber. And I know you're from the state of Alabama.
Correct.
So I got to ask you, Joe Louis, known as the Brown Bomber from the state of Alabama, is that a little bit of an ode to him?
Most definitely. Most definitely. He was the Brown Bomber. I'm the Bronze Bomber. The bronze came from the Olympics. You know, I'm still the lonesome U.S. medalist, still to this date. You know, so we kind of collided together, being both Alabama guys, and me winning the bronze, bringing the bronze, and being the bomber that, you know, I have God-given power. So then Joe Louis come along, being from Alabama, one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. Being the Brown Bomber, so we just put it together.
No, that's awesome.
Joe Louis, Brown Bomber, Deontay Wilder, Bronze.
I love it, and I know it was cool earlier last year you had the opportunity to defend your title in the state of Alabama, man. Now, I know there's only one way that happens, and it's if you're insisting that that's where that fight's going to be, because Alabama isn't exactly known for hosting heavyweight title fights. So how'd you make that happen, man? It was super cool to see.
Well, you know, it's just all, I got to give it all to a man called Al Haymon. You know, I got some great managers around me. Shelly Finkels, got a great team with JD's, Mark Breland, Russ Ambers. You know, I got a great team overall. So basically, you know, basically what the champ wants, the champ gets. You know, if you want to fight, if I wanted to fight in my hometown, that's what we make happen. And, you know, not only did I did it once, but I did it twice, back to back. And the people was, I mean, they were so amazed. But the thing about back home, man, in which I love, man, the people were so grateful. You know, I had people crying because they're big boxing fans, and their dream was to always see a title fight in their backyard.
Sure.
You know, and they got that. I made that dream happen to them, and it was a very emotional moment for a lot of people to see that, and it changed the game up as well, too, you know, far as Alabama not just being about football, but also boxing now. I kind of gave them their first professional sport, you know, and
it's
boxing.
Yeah, it's cool. You made Bama Vegas for a night, man. You made Bama New York for a night and made those people get to feel what it's like to be around that championship atmosphere. There's nothing else like it. It is absolutely electrifying, and anybody who hasn't been around championship fighting, it's hard to describe exactly what that arena feels like in those moments before you actually step in there and go toe-to-toe with another man.
Most definitely. It's crazy. And electrifying was the atmosphere, the energy that the people had brought. It was crazy, man. Man, you know, just to hear all those people, it's like a wind wave, just
yeah,
but it's also, you know, fighting at home too as well too is also kind of dangerous as well too, being the fighter, because so many people depend on you. You know, you're the hometown favorite, and
yeah,
you don't want to mess up. So, you know, yeah, but you want to entertain as well too. So sometimes it can be a pressure on those that tend to have pressure being hard for them. But you know, pressure is no thing for me. I never get pressured under any circumstance that I'm in. I deal with it what it is, but being at home is kind of, it put a little something on you. You know, you're like, you know.
Yo, those expectations are always higher at home than they're going to be anywhere else, man. And to take on that pressure and defend the belt twice in a place as unique as Alabama, my hat's off to you, brother. Because I know that's not an easy thing to get done. I know it's an awesome experience for everybody back home for you. And as a champion who, you said you're a fighting champion, you're an active champion, and you want to be known as that, but you're also fighting a battle and trying to get people to care about the heavyweight championship again, because the division's been down for so long. And I think doing stuff like that, making it about your home state, making it about those kinds of things, can only help you when you're trying to get people to recognize this belt again for what it is. You're the baddest man on the planet when you're the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. I agree with everything that you said. You know, just getting to that point of staying relevant, you know. Not fighting once or twice a year, then disappearing. You know, you also got to be active, not only inside of the ring, but on the outside of the ring as well, too. You know, with different things going on around you, dealing with boxing. And that's what I do. I stay active in the ring, and I'm also active outside the ring with different things that's going on with me, you know. So it's in the right step. It's definitely in the right direction to bring that excitement back. But not only myself, but you got a lot of other guys that's doing that thing, up-and-coming guys that are doing their thing as well,
sure,
to make this sport fun and exciting once more.
I can tell you love the game. I can tell you love the sport, man. Tell me a little bit about why boxing. I always find these stories interesting because this isn't a profession a sane man chooses. Punch in the face or punch somebody else.
Yeah.
You're choosing to fight for a living. What made you take path?
Well, I owe it all to my daughter. You know, if it wasn't for her, I don't know what I'd be doing. I could say football, basketball, stuff, but who knows? You know, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have had to make the decision to quit college, get a job, then go to a gym just off of thinking that fighters make a lot of money that step in the ring, not knowing to take a process. You know, I never would have turned toward boxing if it wasn't for my daughter. And that's the reason I got into it. And come to find out, I had an ability and a talent in it. And, man, the rest is history. God is good, man. You know, sometimes we may want things to go our way. We have things planned, but he have another thing planned for us. And I think I was born to be a fighter.
No doubt. So your daughter's got you living right, man?
Almost definitely.
You eating right?
Yeah, all the time. I like to cheat sometimes.
Yeah, I know. We got the candy bowl. I'm trying to tempt him. I'm trying to tempt the champ a little bit. He's not taking the bait.
Nah, yeah, he got nothing I want. I do eat these sometimes, but I don't feel like picking my teeth out with these.
All right.
With these Swedish
fish. All right. I thought I'd try one more time before we let the champ walk onto his next destination. All right. 36-0, 35 by knockout, the undefeated, soon-to-be undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. That is Deontay Wilder, kind enough to join us here on Radio Row for a couple minutes. We appreciate it, Chuck.
Thank you, man. Bomb squad!
There he is, Deontay Wilder. Thank you, buddy. Deontay Wilder, and he stuck around for a couple minutes after the interview to record a show liner for us. And, you know, Tyler writes these things out, and it's just like, hi, I'm Deontay Wilder, heavyweight champion of the world. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 10th NXL 92.5 FM, right? It's a really simple liner. And Deontay read it, and he looks at us, and he goes, can I do it my own way? And we're like, yeah, Deontay, do whatever you want. He's like, you're listening to Deontay Wilder, WBC heavyweight champion of the world. Like, that personality comes across in that, too, but fun to sit down with that guy the last couple years here on Radio Row. And a guy who finally got the gold jacket is someone we're going to hear from next, Charles Haley, who had to wait a long time to get that jacket. And it's because of some of the off-field issues that he dealt with. But a five-time Super Bowl champion, it's the first time we've had the chance to sit down with him on Radio Row. You'll hear that conversation with Mike and I and Charles Haley in just a moment as we continue along on a Friday edition of Jaguars Today live on 1010XL and 92.5 FM from San Francisco, Radio Row at Super Bowl 50.
Hi, Cam. Stu Wu from the Wall Street Journal. Why are you wearing socks with sandals?
Why are you wearing jeans with shoes?
I don't know if jeans with shoes is quite as, you know, fashion faux pas as some people think, right? Socks with sandals are.
But we're getting to the point in the week where
there's nothing like that.
I mean, Cam, seriously, how many times has he had to answer the same question? Everybody on both these rosters has been available to the media just over and over and over. So the reporter tried to come up with something to say since he took that hour and a half bus ride to go talk to the guy.
Let me show him. He's hoping he's wearing some of those Versace pants or something, but no, it was just socks and sandals today. I mean, look, I don't like the look. It's like if you have like the shower shoe kind, you know, where it just goes over and you don't have the thing between your big toe and your next toe. The socks, when you have the thing between your toes, is kind of a dumb look, right?
Yeah.
But why are you wearing them? Well, if I don't have the socks, my feet are cold, and the sandals are easier to slip in and out of. Do you really need to know? So in that regard, yes, I don't have any issue with Cam Newton turning that around, even though the jeans with shoes is not exactly the equivalent.
I do actually feel bad for these guys on these teams by the time we get to Thursday.
Enough already.
I can't imagine. Like, most weeks I don't feel bad for the players at all. Whatever. You got to talk to the media a couple days during the week. Get over it. That's just part
of
the deal.
Correctamundo.
Super Bowl. Not only do you have to do all the post-game stuff for the championship games, but this week, once you get out to whatever city is hosting it, it is every day these guys are going to have to answer the same questions. Nothing changed.
Right. It's not every player every day, but a bunch of them are made available, and certainly the quarterback's answering questions all week long, and media day is a circus and all that stuff. But, hey, you know what? We're to blame for that as anybody. We're in there asking questions. We ask football questions, but it's not like those are the only things that get asked by us or anybody else. So a little harmless fun with Cam Newton, and continues to express that personality, Tony. Charles Haley, five-time Super Bowl champ, is a guy that had a terrifying reputation as a guy that if you crossed Charles Haley, if you said the wrong thing, if you got on his bad side, he would do violence to you off the football field, right? I mean, on the football field, off the football field, didn't matter. Charles Haley had a reputation as a guy who, quite frankly, had a screw loose, right? Was a guy not to be messed with whatsoever. And Charles Haley talks about those issues that he had and how he began to overcome them. And I would imagine it's still a process, but very introspective, I thought, Charles Haley sat down with us early this week. All right, now on Radio Row, Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith here on 1010XL. Welcome in five-time Super Bowl champ Charles Haley. Charles, you get introduced that way everywhere you go. You have to, right?
You know what? People do try to. I just try to tell them, you know, I want to be known as Charles Haley, not Charles Haley, the football player, because it limits the conversation. You know, I want people to get to know me, get to know the things I like, the things I love, and the things I'm passionate about, and through that conversation, football will come up.
That's one of the things you're passionate about, right? Yeah.
Right.
What are you at? Then tell us, what is Charles Haley about in 2016?
I'm about education. I used to help build playgrounds and all that stuff, and then I realized these kids are thinking they're going to be me or Michael Irvin or Troy Aikman, and then they don't have anything between their brains. I want to give them something that's going to last a lifetime, and that's education. So we do a lot of after-school programs and things of that nature.
That's very cool, Charles. And I know, look, he mentioned five-time Super Bowl champion. You don't only want to be known as that. You're a 49ers legend. You're a Dallas Cowboys legend. You're now a Hall of Famer. I know you don't like the labels, but if you had to pick one, which one of those means the most to you?
I guess the Hall of Fame, because it goes further than my teammates, who I love, but it empowers from kindergarten all the people that has touched my life over the years to build me into the man that I am today, or the football player I was yesterday, and they get the recognition for that.
Who is the coach, or if there are a couple of them, who are the guys who are most instrumental, whether it's going back to your Pop Warner days, your high school, that either gave you the belief or the know-how to do what you did?
Well, first would be my college head coach, Charles McMillan. Then it'd be Bill Walsh. Then George Seifert. George Seifert taught me more about football. He was a micromanager type guy, and he went over everybody position. Then you got Jimmy Johnson, man. He was out of control, man. And then you got Barry Switzer, players coach. I had it all.
You really did, right?
I had them all.
Out of that group, does Seifert get enough recognition? Because I think a lot of people feel that the Niners were built. All you had to do was take over and just not mess it up.
I think George did that, and we won Super Bowls four. We almost won four in a row. But he doesn't get enough credit. He's the winningest coach for the 49ers, but yet they fired him. And I don't understand it. I know me and him butted heads, and I got sent to Dallas, but it was never his fault. It was my fault. He would always tell me, you know, Charles, you never made a mistake. You never make mistakes. He'd tell his family. He'd tell players on the thing. But I took that as when he said, you never make mistakes. Because of my mind, I took it as though he think I was stupid because I'm black. You know what I'm saying? I switched it from the positiveness that he said to negative because, you know, I'm always been put down all my life. So I didn't know how to take a compliment. I looked at it. I looked through the glass, and that glass was dirty as hell. And I took every moment back then. And, you know, I would listen to you, and you would talk to me in about three words. You say negative. I'll take those three words, turn it into my reality, and then I'll try to hurt you for it.
Ouch. I'm not going to say I like Charles Haley for the
record. I'm going to say very nice things. How long did it take, Charles, for you to recognize that and try to do something about that?
Well, you know, the biggest key for me was that when my family would come see me, my birthday, Father's Day, they come over for a little while, then they're gone. And then they walk on eggshells around me because they don't want to see me explode. We go to dinner at a restaurant. They don't talk to me because they don't know what's going to set me off. And I got tired of that. I got tired of that. I got tired of them feeling like that. I got tired of overreacting to everything. So I took the big step and go get some help. You know, I went to psychiatrist. You know, I'm dual diagnosed. I go to counseling. I go talk to kids. I do whatever it takes to inspire, to help guys. I talk to a lot of guys in the NFL that are going through it. And, you know, but the only thing about them, they so stuck in stupid that you can't get them out. You know, and then I'm pissed off at Troy Vincent because all he wants to do is do a surface. He doesn't clean underneath. He just does a surface. And suspend the guy, but he's not working on any of the problems the guy going through, and then you give him back the job again. He ain't done no work. You got to send him to a dual diagnosis center, regardless, and so everybody can make an assessment, and then you can be better at it. I forgot why we're here today.
We're here for Zimmer Biomet, I believe.
Oh, what do they do?
Well, they do a good job replacing joints is what they do, Charles. And they made 1.5 million people over the last 10 years very happy with new
1.5,
knees.
1.5? It's going to be 1.5 plus 2.
You're getting the double work
I'm
done?
I'm getting the double work done.
How about that? How do they feel right now prior to the replacements?
They hurt like crap right now. I know. I'm bone on bone. I'm gonna deal with the pain until I can't. Then I do it.
Zimmer Biomet.
But I know that I don't have to live in pain though, so I might go ahead and get it done now.
Well, they're the ones who tell you don't have to live in pain. Arthritis affects 45 million Americans, and certainly I would think a higher percentage of professional athletes who have all that jarring going on with their knees and all their joints. for you this weekend. Are you a fan of the game? I mean, will you watch the Super Bowl as a fan and appreciate the greatness that you see?
Yeah, I'll be a fan. I'm a fan of Cam Newton. I love what he does. The biggest thing I love about him is when they score, because usually quarterbacks, running backs that know they're going into the Hall of Fame, or they take the ball and sign, get it dated and stuff and put it in the wear place and sell it later, and he hand that kid that ball, and then that kid run back up top to that parent, and the camera's fans to him, and the girl dancing, going crazy because she got the ball. That is the best feeling in the world. It touches my heart to know how unselfish he is, you know?
Well, you know what? I think it's fantastic to know that you've embraced your personal issues and made some changes. I think that's fantastic. You know, I think that's a great message, not only for adults but for kids as well. You know, don't focus on the negative. You know, there are people that are willing to help you and be there for you, and not the world isn't always against you, right?
Yes, it is. Hey, you got to stop making excuses and step up to the plate and hit a home run by being proactive. You know, faith is about action. You know, you just can't sit on your butt and have faith. You got to take some action, and that's what I beg people to do is go seek action, go seek help. Talk to your bosses, talk to your spouse, talk to your son. Let them know that there's a problem and get help, and they will help you through.
All right, I'm going to then not say Charles Haley, five-time Super Bowl champion. I'm going to say Charles Haley, man of change.
Hello.
Not afraid of change. How about
bad
that?
Boy.
There he is. The bad boy's in the house. He's still got a little bad boy in him, I have a feeling. But, Charles, enjoy Super Bowl weekend, and we appreciate
you.
Getting to Thank sit down
you.
With you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, there goes Charles Haley, Tony. I think I get at least a 1% commission on any knee replacements they may sell due to that one, because Charles, I'm not quite sure if he knew what he was
right.
Promoting at that point in time, but we're glad to have him. It was very interesting. I mean, that he said, hey, look, George Seifert, those guys had a bad blood feud after he shipped him out. It was all my fault. It was all, you know, at the time, I just couldn't. I'd hear 1,000 words out of him. Three of them would be negative, and that's all I'd focus on.
Yeah, I mean, he talked about the knee replacements a little bit, which was what he was here plugging, and everybody's plugging something down here on Radio Row when they sit down with us. But you could hear the real passion from Charles when he started talking about some of the mental health issues that he had dealt with and trying to get people to get out there. And if you're dealing with those kind of things, you know, he talked about your knees. You don't have to live in pain. And emotionally, you don't have to live in pain either. And it was good to see Charles Haley and hear that he is getting the kind of help that he needs, because there was that reputation. That's all we knew, really, about Charles Haley. Great football player, but a bit of a basket case. And you never really knew what it was that was going to...
Florida State linebacker back in the day, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame, Super
what
Bowl
honor
champion.
Hasn't he received?
Pretty much everything. Hell, high school defensive player of the year in for
he
the
was
nation.
He's part of the all-century team in the state of Florida.
Yeah, he's a bad boy, and he's a good guy, and he's going to sit down with us, at least scheduled to, coming up in just a few minutes. So stick around for that as we continue live coverage from San Francisco, getting ready for Super Bowl 50. Courtesy of St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church and Kevin Green, certified public accountant, making the trip possible. Fridays brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt live in San Fran on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
Let's get down to it. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Radio Row, San Francisco, California, Super Bowl 50 coming up, Tony. In all the times I've seen Derek Brooks on Radio Row, and he's done a few of these now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have ever personally sat down with him. I know he sat down with our station before. Rick Ballew, Frank Frangie have interviewed him. Derek, it's my honor to talk to you. And as I told you a moment ago, huge Florida State fan, followed your career from day one.
Well, thank you. Again, that's a very big honor and very big admission of you being in Jacksonville, man, amongst a lot of Gators.
Oh, there's a lot of Gators.
But Mike's being a little modest right now. He told me last night, Derek, that you are his favorite Florida State player of all time.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mike. Well, I appreciate the love.
Look, I do. I love that whole team. I don't love the college football system. Back then, you guys could have been about three or four time national champs if they had a playoff back in the day, Derek. Come on.
Yeah,
why couldn't we got that done earlier?
You know, but at the same time, you know, we were guilty and victim of our own fate. You know, that right foot of some of our kickers sailed that ball right.
No doubt.
And, again, we lost it, you know, with a few wide rights. But we got it together in 1993, delivered Bobby Bowden his first national championship. Scott Bentley, freshman kicker at the time, knocked that thing through.
Isn't that ironic?
Yes.
After all the missed kicks that came down to that?
At the Orange Bowl. Well, a lot of heartbreak.
No doubt about it, right? Fortunately, it was Nebraska that you were playing instead of the U back then.
Exactly. So our teams back then were wonderful. And nice day yesterday for Florida State in recruiting. One or two, depending on what poll you look at.
I choose to look at the one that said they were one.
Yes, me too. So, again, hopefully we'll get back to that stage and earn the right to be in the playoffs this coming season.
Derek, if I went through a list of everything you've accomplished playing football, we'd be done with the interview by the time I finished it. And honestly, as a College Football Hall of Famer, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, a Super Bowl champion named to the high school all-century team, which when you go back and look at some of the names of the players that came out of the state of Florida in high school football, it's an incredible list. It's basically a Hall of Fame list.
Yes.
For you, I haven't seen you on Radio Row without that gold jacket. So yes. I know it means a lot to you, but of all the things you accomplished in your career, what do you cherish the most?
Tony, I try to let every accomplishment has its space in my life. You know, from winning a national championship, that was my first championship ever at that level. Didn't win a state one in high school. You won little league championships, but at that level, and to be there to deliver that for Bobby Bowden, special. I can't compare that to 2002 when we won the Super Bowl. Obviously going from 0-26, a Tampa franchise starting, to the pinnacle in 2003 Super Bowl 37 champions, that space needs its space because we went through a lot, you know, to get there in that day, in that era. And the Hall of Fame, an individual award in the ultimate team sport to be recognized of all the men that have played professional football. To be number 281, that doesn't have any comparison. It needs its space in my life. But when I total all these things together from my service on the trustee board of Florida State to the political positions I've served, I get the greatest joy, honestly, of serving kids through our charter high school and through Derrick Brooks Charities. That's my heartstring, youth education. And I thank God that I've had the stage of football to stand on to deliver that through servant leadership. And I think education is that equalizer that gives every kid an opportunity to be what they want to be in life. And I think that closes a lot of gaps. So as I compare all these athletic awards and the Hall of Fames, they all have their space in my life. But when it compares to what's beyond the game, there's no comparison to what God has allowed me to do it in service in our kids and our community.
They helped you build a platform for what you get to do, what you really love to do now. That's pretty special stuff. I got to ask you, you're in a unique position being a longtime Tampa Bay Buccaneer with them having the first pick in the draft and Jameis Winston being under consideration to pick your brain and to use you as kind of a guy to feel out, do you think this guy is going to be a good fit, right? And all these things.
Yes.
Tell us about your relationship with Jameis Winston, what you've learned about him, and why you felt that it would be the right selection for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, at the time, you know, I thank, you know, Jason Light, Lovie Smith, and the Glazer family for, you know, even soliciting my opinion. And I think Jameis allowed me to be in a certain space with him because I had no expectations. When I first met the young man, it was genuine. Again, just getting to know him and appreciating the things that he was doing at Florida State. I didn't judge him. Obviously, through the situations that he was off the field, I didn't judge him. I saw for what it was and tried to be an encouragement in that regards. So when it came to how I felt about him his last year in college, was a chance to get to know him a little bit better. Then I met his parents. And once I met his parents, that genuineness
of meeting them and getting a little background about his family made me see beyond that. And just this about a year ago, this time here was when we really started to connect and build a relationship. And I told him, hey, whether the Bucks draft you or not, I'm here for you. If you want to use me, I'm a resource, but I'm only as good as you reaching out to me. And I want you to succeed as a human being, whether you're Tampa Bay Buccaneer or anyone else. And I think that let the guard down. So you fast forward, they draft him, and, you know, we start setting up weekly, sometimes bi-weekly meetings where we either go out, have a bite to eat, we'll talk on the phone or text. And some of the conversation were about football. Some of them was about life. Some of them just, you know, two kids living it up, playing the game of football. So that's the space right now that I've had a chance to build with him in terms of that relationship. And I want to continue to see it grow and him succeed. Obviously, him coming to the Bucks, going from 2 wins to 6, and being relevant late in the season was a big improvement. Unfortunately, Lovie Smith was fired and could not see that another year, see what it looks like. But you got to pick up the keys, as I told him. When Coach Dungy was fired, the best advice he gave me was I needed to move on because the team was looking at me and how I responded to in the corner how they feel. So I shared the same advice with him. You got to move on. Coach Cutter's team now, a lot of people looking at how you handle it in terms of where this team is going to go.
I know the Jags have a linebacker, third-year player going into the 2016 season, Telvin Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Florida State. You talk about the mentoring opportunity you've had with Jameis Winston. Have you had the same kind of opportunity with Telvin?
Oh, and that's even better because we play the same position. Mm-hmm. And Gus Bradley, his head coach, was my position coach. So, again, we definitely talk X's and O's. And before Telvin, it was Geno Hayes. So, again, I had that connection with these guys, trying to give them little tidbits to make his game better. You know, I still want to start to eat more. You know, we got to get that weight up.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I know he's tall and legged, man, but I need to get a little meat on them bones. But he's off to a start, and obviously last year he saw what the grind is like to be an every-down starter, base, nickel, contributing on special teams and getting his body ready for the long haul because he got injured down the stretch. But now this offseason, he get a chance to learn from that.
Derek, you mentioned Gus Bradley, and is there in your relationship with him, were there things that you saw that indicated to you that he would be a good overall head coach? Because it's been a struggle to win games. It's been a unique situation the way they really ripped that roster down to nothing.
Yeah, he's the right man for it. Obviously, you know, Mr. Shad has showed that investment in him with that patience. To understand he's the right man to handle that transition of leading men, his attitude. Guys, people, it's not fake. He's a ultimately positive guy that's going to see the glass half full and be real that it's half empty. So he's been able to see that transition. That offense has been able to grow now and lead that team. Now, this offseason, him and Mr. Caldwell address the defensive side of the football, and I promise you, the Jags is going to shock a lot of people next year.
I hope so, man. We are the Jags flagship station, so nobody would like it better than us. So this man has, right off the top of his head, a little bit of knowledge, not only about the team that he played for.
Yeah.
It's pretty evident here. You're here on behalf of Kay Jewelers, and Kay is helping make golden moments. We just posed for you with some photos with some of these wonderful Pro Football Hall of Fame rings. You're sporting yours, of course.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the relationship.
Well, the relationship is there are the official jewelers of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And our Ring of Excellence, they redesigned it in 2013. So everybody from 2013 forward will get this ring. But the unique part about it is they're going back, starting with our older Hall of Famers and giving them the updated newer version of this ring, absolutely. And widows are getting the pendants of this ring. So through that program and that partnership, it's been special. And another reason why I want to encourage guys to go to K Jewelers, because it's about 8.5 days left. We guys tend to forget that there's an important holiday to some women out there, and it's called Valentine's Day. All right? There's no other day. So go to the nearest K Jewelers store, or if you're a millennial shopper like my kids, they go online and shop. Go online at K.com and pick something out nice for your significant other. And if it's not Valentine's Day, obviously there are many more occasions to celebrate and allow K to be a part of it.
I got married on Valentine's Day, so I have to get double.
Oh, hey. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong. My wife agrees. My wife.
Do you guys know the jingle for K?
Every kiss begins with K.
Oh, absolutely.
Ah, they even sang it
they
for you. How about
it.
That?
They nailed
that's,
it.
That's awful. That's an awful voice right there.
Derek, before we let you go, obviously you're still following the game very closely. Super Bowl 50 coming up just a couple of days away. Who do you like in the game on Sunday?
Well, I like defense, and they spoiled me two weekends ago by playing great defense. I thought it was a lost art, but they played great defense on both sides, and I want the defenses to show up, honestly. I want it to be a four-quarter game coming down to one possession, and whatever that defense is, stop that offense last play of the game. Very similar to last year. You saw Malcolm Butler step up and make a play. I like good defensive football. Because of my position as an appeals officer, I really can't go have a rooting interest, but I root for great defense to be played. And last weekend, obviously, two weekends ago, gave us an indication good defense still out there.
Does it blow your mind Thomas Davis plays as well as he does after having three torn ACLs?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
It's an inspiration. And now, you know, could be a storyline. How well could he play with that
broken
arm cast?
Sure.
I saw that cast on TV, and how does it affect the grip? How does it affect him getting off blocks? I think that, you know, could be a storyline in Carolina's defense. Obviously, the emotion of him playing, everybody feed into that. But now you get into the second, third quarter, that emotion is worn off. He's playing football. How well he's playing with that cast on his arm yet to be seen. But again, his story is an inspiration.
Derek, your story to me is an inspiration because I watched it all with my very eyes. And one of the 33 guys on the all-time state of Florida high school team, which is a crazy accomplishment when you know how much talent has come through
the
state.
That's the only list I finished ahead of deal.
Derek Brooks, sir, good to see you. We appreciate the time today. On behalf of our friends at K Jewelers, thanks for stopping by. Enjoy the rest of Super Bowl week.
You guys, too.
All right, Derek Brooks, ladies and gentlemen, Florida State and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the College Football Hall of Fame, every Seminole fan's heart as well. I'm sure Buccaneer fans too, and just a terrific guy. So thanks to Derek Brooks for stopping by with us today. Folks, travel and hotel accommodations for Jaguars today provided in part by Kevin Green, certified public accountant. Tax season is bearing down on us in today's economy and every day's economy. Every dollar counts. It's why I trust certified public accountant Kevin Green. He handles my returns personally, my business returns. You go to a CPA, the idea is they should be able to save you as much in tax savings as their cost to you. Kevin's done that for me and much more over the years. He offers preparation of personal and business income tax returns, bookkeeping, payroll tax return services, you name it. Maybe you switched over from being a W-2 employee to a subcontractor. If you're a 1099 person now, afraid of the tax you may owe due to your change in status, call Kevin at 904-332-6500. Office is centrally located right across from Tinseltown at 4540 Southside Boulevard, Suite 303. That's 904-332-6500 for Kevin Green, certified public accountant, the man I trust when it comes to tax time, my personal friend who does a great job. He'll do the same for you as well. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, coming back on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, live at Super Bowl 50. I don't even know what's coming up next, but maybe it'll be Curtis Martin taking our candy. It could be. I love Curtis Martin too. How about Derek Brooks and Curtis Martin? I'm a Florida State and a Jets fan in combination within the span of about 10 seconds walking by right there. That was not too shabby. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back live at Super Bowl 50 in San Francisco on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Three wide outs at the top of the picture. Stewart with time. Let's it go. He's got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Caught by Westbrook for a touchdown. Incredible.
Cordell Stewart, Tony, back in the day, in the 90s, I remember that game watching at Colorado, Michigan, and Cordell Stewart threw that, Hail Mary. Michael Westbrook caught it. Michael Westbrook would become quite an interesting guy.
Yes, he would.
Oh, my goodness. Did he have his own set of issues later on down the line? He got into martial arts fighting, like kickboxing.
Yep.
Not like mixed martial arts, just straight kickboxing. Which I believe is technically different, but regardless, Cordell Stewart then played for the Steelers for a long time. He's got into broadcasting since then, as we are here on Radio Row, courtesy of St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, here on Jaguars Today. Tony, you got a chance, I believe, yesterday to sit down with Cordell.
I did, and at Cordell, it was working with TuneIn, which apparently they have their own radio network. They don't just broadcast local radio from across the country, but he is hosting a show on TuneIn, that app, so you can check him out there. And we talked a lot about the upcoming Super Bowl this weekend. Radio Row here, Super Bowl 50, and Cordell Stewart Slash sitting down with us now, former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. Cordell, how the heck are you, buddy?
Dude, I'm doing pretty darn good. Hanging out with you guys, seeing all these yellow jackets from these Hall of Famers, Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, Andre Reed, finally he gets in. So it's Tim Plunkett, I think I saw today. He was walking around. So it's it's Charles Haley, I see, down the way. He doesn't have his jacket on, but he's up the row here.
Charles ought to have the jacket on, Cordell. I mean, he waited so long to get that jacket. It's so deserved. 5 Super Bowl rings for that man. I wouldn't ever walk back in this room without that thing.
I tell you what, he's won so many championship rings compared to everyone else. You know, between the Cowboys and the 49ers, he figured probably that's enough. You know who I am. He probably said that, but you know who I am. He walks around with that look like, you know who I am.
No doubt about it.
Former
Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Cordell Stewart with us here. We'll get to what you're doing now with the TuneIn app, and still talking sports here in just a moment. But let's take a look back a couple weeks ago. The Pittsburgh Steelers obviously coming up a little bit short there against the Denver Broncos. Controversy really the week before,
right,
against Cincinnati, and I think it's something that the game is having to take a look at as far as how they're going to handle these kinds of situations. Like, at what point in the game should Burfict not be on the field anymore for the Cincinnati Bengals? And because there was really, it felt like no control, it got to a point where everything just spun.
Allow me to say this with understanding somewhat of the history of the Cincinnati Bengals is for many years after being in Pittsburgh since 95, of course, you know, we played them 2 times a year when it was the AFC Central, then turned into the AFC North. The Cincinnati Bengals teams has always had talent. But for some reason, somewhere along the way, self-implosion took place. You know, they could give us tough games. I remember in 95, I think we were down 31-17. I ended up catching a 71-yard touchdown. The rest was history. We ended up coming back winning like 42, 43, somewhere in there, to like 37 or something like that. We ended up winning that game. And my point in all this is you don't have to showboat to justify anything that you're doing well. They had the Steelers on their heels. And I'm sitting here literally saying to myself and out loud in my living room alone, because my son was in his bedroom playing his video games, his Xbox games.
He's not watching the game.
Right. He had the door. I mean, he was on, you know, doing a face thing. You know, technology is so serious nowadays. We'll get to that part later.
Right.
He was playing the video games with his buddies. You know, these shooting games. I'm like, man, you need to be watching some real football, because he's a football enthusiast himself. And so, you know, when I was watching, I said to myself, the Steelers may lose this one. And all of a sudden, it goes from an interception to a fumble to a touchdown to a penalty to a field goal, game over, all within literally like a minute and 30 seconds of the game. So you go from being, wow, the Cincinnati Bengals finally get a chance to win a playoff game and beat the Steelers in the playoffs, to all of a sudden, it's the same old Cincinnati Bengals. That's how I saw it,
right,
being a Pittsburgher in a sense when it comes to playing a game. So it's only so much, you know, Marvin Lewis can do. And it's unfortunate for him, you know, that it's done on his time ticket. But, yeah, if you have a guy that's being detrimental to your team and is costing you yards and he's being obnoxious the entire game, taunting the sideline of the Steelers, at some point in time it's going to cost you. And it ended up costing them.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's unfortunate again for Marvin Lewis, because he's a great coach, phenomenal coach. And sometimes his ways can be a little stale, but he's winning. He's going to the playoffs. And they're winning big games.
Yeah.
Unfortunate their quarterback ended up getting hurt there in Andy Dalton. But yet you had the young kid come along and was solid. Got a touchdown in the game.
And played with a ton of confidence.
Yeah, so A.J. McCarron, he did phenomenal. And everything you could ask for in your backup, he did it even better.
Yeah.
He's been in those moments with Nick Saban there in Alabama. And all of a sudden you get a knucklehead that chooses to take matters in his own hands along with Pac-Man Jones.
Sure.
Say all this crazy stuff, and I respect the guy's talent, but you got to respect your organization, your team, and not make it about you and make it about the team. And so as a leader on the teams that I've been on in Pittsburgh, if that would have happened in Pittsburgh, oh, Coach Kyle would have ran him out of there.
No doubt.
Oh, trust me. You wouldn't embarrass that organization at all. And so because the talent that you have that's there in Cincinnati, sometimes it's far and few between at certain positions, you know, you're kind of stuck with having to play these guys, you know. And those guys are great players. Don't get it twisted with what I'm saying. But from a behavior standpoint, very immature.
Cordell Stewart joining us here on Radio Row at Super Bowl 50. And Cam Newton has obviously been the focus of a lot of attention. Not only is he going to be the league MVP once we get to Saturday night and all
have
those
no
awards.
Choice. If he doesn't get it, shame on everyone.
Right, but he's also a guy who's willing to speak his mind. And as somebody who played the quarterback position, as a guy who was, you know, you earned the nickname Slash because of everything that you were able to do. You're an African-American quarterback in the National Football League. You are a mobile guy. Did you ever feel like you faced that same kind of criticism that Cam talks about now? Like, people want to put him in this box, and he just keeps trying to say, I don't deserve to be put in that box.
Now, this is maybe a rhetorical question, and you can maybe answer it if you want to, but who's the people? Because I think the people who don't matter are the ones who are saying it.
Right.
When it comes to the organization, that's all that matters. And I just, you know, from outside looking in and seeing my story, and not trying to come down on Cam too hard, because I get it. You know, I get it. Obviously, as you can see, I'm an African-American quarterback myself. I was.
Sure.
But my thing is he's more in his feelings than anything else, because his support system is the community of Charlotte, his family, and most importantly, that organization. He was the number one pick overall in his draft. Okay?
Yeah.
A few years before that, RG3 was the second player taken in his draft. And who was drafted before him? Andrew Luck. And what style of quarterback is he? Mobile.
Yeah.
He runs them over. So for me, in this era, it's no conversation about the black quarterback for me. Donovan McNabb. Let's go back to Steve McNair. All these guys were drafted in the first round. But my road through Pittsburgh and playing wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
and having to go to the bench for a Tommy Maddox, a Kent Graham, and a Mike Tomczak. For the life of me, I still don't understand it.
Right.
Because as much as everyone wants to say, oh, they study, oh, they're smart, oh, they get it done, they understand the game, yada, 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 because Cordell play receiver, and there's no way possible he can play quarterback. They lost.
Right.
Until who came back in the game? Myself.
Slash.
So all I'm basically saying is the things that Cam are dealing with right now, totally different than mine. It's night and day different. You know, Steve Young was another quarterback that went through it. Ran him out of town in Tampa. Had to go to the USFL
yep.
and play.
Had that pantomime in the Super Bowl, the monkey
he
off
got
the back,
me.
The
so
whole
then
thing.
He sits behind Bill Walsh. He sits beside Bill Walsh. He sits behind Joe Montana. And he learns the game from the best. And what does he do? He wins the Super Bowl. He gets a yellow jacket. And he's considered as the most efficient quarterback
right.
in the history, still today, of the game when it comes to his rating. So all I can say is at the end of the day, for me as we speak now, it's not about color. If it's about color, in some people's eyes, shame on them, they're behind.
Well, I know you're still working in radio, I can tell. It's not technically radio. Tune In app, what's going on with that, man?
Well, Tune In is an app where it allows many fans from around the world to follow their teams in the NFL and their action year-round, pretty much. And the show that I'm all on is called No Huddle. And we're on from Monday through Friday from 1 to 4 Pacific and 4 to 7 Eastern. And what that app allows you to do is from anywhere in the world, literally, you could be in Europe, you could be in the U.K., you could be in the Caribbeans, on Indian, you could be in a tropical part of the world, up in Hawaii, at any time. Fiji, anytime, as long as you have service, you can go to your app, which is for free.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay for anything. It's free. Our show, listening to our show, it's free. You'll be able to go to anything, whether it's the coaches' meetings, whether it's OTAs, the combines, following us to the Final Four that's down in Austin. We'll be there, too, as well. Anything that's sports-related, live, you'll be able to listen to, whether it's the radio, even music. And if you just so happen to miss it live, you can go to on demand and you can listen to the recaps of our show and anything else that you would love to listen to, whether it's the show or even a game. So we have this thing on lock. Tune in is as diverse as my game was, you know, and I think that's why this match is, to me, such a wonderful one, so much so that I'm on the team, and I think we're the lay of the land. We're like the Netflix of audio. Okay?
That's just cool. That's a cool way to look at it. Yeah.
We're Netflix of audio.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I started, once I joined the team, listen to my jazz on my, in my music genres. You could go anywhere you want to go.
Right.
You can go to the top trending stories in sports. You can see that as well. So when it's all said and done in the end, you won't miss anything when you work with TuneIn. Now, all you have to do is go to your app store, get the app. It's 100% for free. Now, when you want the premium things, you probably have to pay for the premiums. But when it comes to local and international, you get everything for free, and you can listen to it.
10 seconds here left with you, Cordell. Who do you like on Sunday?
Carolina.
Carolina?
Because I can identify that style with that style. And here's a defense that has a knack for getting interceptions and turnovers and scoring touchdowns. But on the other side, they understand how not to let people in the end zone to score points because they allow the fewest points in the National Football League.
Yes, it is.
So I think that's a wash. Now it goes to the offensive side, which I think what they do on offense with Cam Newton, and if he could keep that momentum going, I think the rest is history.
That's Cordell Stewart. Great to catch up with you, bud, and we'll check you out on the TuneIn app. Thanks
yes,
for stopping
sir.
By.
Thank you, boss. Thank you,
all
boss.
Right.
All right. If, Tony, if TuneIn is the Netflix of audio,
yes.
When are they coming out with their version of Jessica Jones? That's what I need to know.
I'm not sure.
I'm ready for season
we'll
two
We'll have to go
already.
Ask Cordell.
I guess so. He's probably still floating around here. Good stuff. That was a great interview with Cordell Stewart. Tony did that yesterday here at Radio Row. Luke Rockhold is the middleweight UFC champion. We caught up with him actually a couple of days ago. We've been scrambling to get that interview played for you here. Remember, next week we're going to have the best of the Jags from Super Bowl week as Tony will sit down with Allen Robinson coming up in about 45 minutes. And we've already got Blake Bortles, Dan Scuda, which we haven't even aired yet. Allen Hurns joined us on the program yesterday, and all of it's available at 1010XL.com in the on-demand section, so check that out as well. Thanks to St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church again making this trip possible out here to San Francisco, California. Check out JacksGreekFest.com for more information on the Greek Festival at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium February 26th, 27th, and 28th, a celebration of Greek culture, food, music, you name it. You don't have to be Greek to enjoy and get down and party with my friends, the Greek community in Jacksonville. They do a great job with that and everything they do with St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, making our trip to Super Bowl 50 possible. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt, back with more from San Francisco next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Final few minutes of our live coverage here from San Francisco, Tony. What a week it has been. It has been.
Yeah.
We work hard, and we also play hard as well when the time comes, and we will continue to play hard over the next however many days. I'll be here. The plan is to get back to Jacksonville for me 8:30 Monday morning. Take a red eye. Go to the game. Get on the plane, red eye to Jacksonville, on the air with you at 10 a.m. on Monday.
Good luck.
Good luck is right.
Hopefully I see you on Monday.
Good luck. Hopefully I make that red eye. And, I've got the hotel room till Monday. So if I miss the plane and have to get on one the next morning, I suppose I can manage. But I plan on recapping Super Bowl 50 with you on Monday. Looking forward to that. What happens? What do we run out of, Tony, every time we come to the Super Bowl? We run out of time, don't we?
Oh, we do, yeah.
I mean, we've got so many interviews that we would like to get to and that we just simply can't get to on the air during the course of the week. We record as many as we can. We try to cherry-pick some of the better ones and offer the rest to you on demand on 1010XL.com. That's where you're going to have to listen right now to Luke Rockhold if you want to hear. We just don't have enough time to get it in. We'd be cutting way into XL Primetime's time, so those guys have a lot coming up on their plate as well. So we'll leave that on the 1010XL.com on-demand section. Curtis Martin going to sit down with Tony after the show today. Tyler, throw a headset on there, brother, as we wrap up our week of coverage out here in San Francisco. He's on the blue. All right, Tyler Devitt, check, check, check.
Hello, hello.
What's going on with Curtis Martin?
Curtis Martin's going to join 1010XL, Jacksonville Sports Radio, at 1245.
1245 today. So 1245. Tony's like, could have left early and got a nap in. I could have got a nap in.
All but Famer, worth it.
I got to say, Tyler Devitt. Donna Murphy is still the old-timer. I have to wait until several years after. Look at him. He's taking a headset off. He's running after another guest. He doesn't even have time to sleep around and talk.
That's great
I was
job.
Going to say, that is great job. Thank you, Gibby, that Donna Murphy is the old-timer in terms of producing at the Super Bowl. Just phenomenal job she always does. I hope she found her blue pen this morning, her good blue pen.
Right.
Because somebody walked off with that. Please bring that back to her 1010XL people. But I have to say, Rookie of the Year, Tyler Devitt.
He was good.
He made a strong showing out here, and he's hustling. We went back yesterday, and he stayed behind. He was booking stuff for serious shows that I'm not even a part of yesterday. I think he may be looking to make the leap to a different employer or something. I don't know. This guy is out to impress this week, but he has been hustling, and he's done a tremendous job. So couldn't have got it done without Tyler this week. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Love those guys. Look, if you got any roofing issues, or you want to make sure you don't, wind damage, hail damage, you name it, re-roofs, repairs, Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, 287-7756 is the phone number to call. License number CCC056797 rolls right off the tongue. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, proud sponsors of Jaguars today, every Friday. Appreciate those guys and can't say enough about the folks at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. We're going to make a nice donation, as we do every year, to one of the charities of their choice after their generosity helps us make all our accommodations possible. This year, Wilson's Children's Hospital is the one for the second consecutive year. We've done Ronald McDonald House in the past. They have so many great charities that they're supporters of. Please support the Jacksonville Greek Festival coming up later this month at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium, February 26th, 27th, and 28th. And great food, great fun. You're going to have culture. You're going to have music. You're going to have a blast, maybe even a shot of ouzo if you like, whatever, if you're of age. And you're going to have a good time. You don't have to be Greek to enjoy the Jacksonville Greek Festival. Go to jacksgreekfestival.com to find out more about that. So many guests this week. Can't thank them all, Tony.
No.
But we can thank, back in 1010XL World Headquarters, Big Country, for producing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Flawless job, equally flawless from Andrew Gibson the last couple of days. JJ, Danny, Chad, Tom, and anybody else, Beef, whoever may have been putting in and editing our interviews to make us sound semi-coherent. Can't get these shows done without the support back home. So, with all that, I think most of that at least taken care of. What about Super Bowl Wayne? Let's say out at Super Bowl Wayne for like 2 seconds here. Super Bowl Wayne has covered the big game 33 times, I believe, and originally I met Wayne in Jacksonville, Super Bowl 39. He's from Honolulu. I'm like, Honolulu? He's going around with these chocolate-covered macadamia nuts. To this day, that's his shtick, and he brings in all the big guests because of it, and he joins us here for just a moment as we get ready to wrap up. Wayne, what the heck is going on with you these days? How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'll tell you, I'm ready for Denver to win, not to lose. You know, I think I've seen Elway with his last taking his shirt off, his jersey off on the winner, and I think he's going to win again. But Super Bowl Wayne, he's coming back, going for 35 next year, and I'm going to be in Houston with you guys, right?
You got it, buddy. Absolutely. We'll be there, Wayne. So it sounds like you think Elway will get one as the GM now. Peyton Manning will ride off into the sunset. Tony, final prediction time. What about you?
For me, I've been leaning Carolina all week, and I just can't come up with enough reasons to pick Denver. I know they got the better defense in this football game, but I think Carolina has the far superior offense. Can Peyton Manning make no mistakes? And I think if he makes no mistakes in this football game, they got a good chance to win it. But I think Carolina at some point will force him into a bad decision, and that will be the difference in this football game. I like Carolina by 10.
10. All right. I got 23-17, Carolina. I'm the same with you. I kind of find myself pulling for the Denver Broncos a little bit here in the end. And I can envision a scenario when this defense really locks down a mediocre wide receiver core by NFL high-end standards. Cam has made them, I think, this year better than they are objectively. And, look, he's still a dangerous threat. Even if you shut those guys down, he can break down the play with his feet, as we've seen time and time again throughout his career going back to college. So, look, I'm not going to be shocked by either outcome.
No.
If it's a blowout, I do think it's a Carolina win over the Denver Broncos. Broncos. But I think, like a lot of people, I don't think this is a run up and down the field kind of game. I think defense comes to the fore.
Yep.
We're going to see a lot of that. I've got no problem with that. Let's just have a game with 5 minutes left in the contest. And that is still in doubt. Let's sit here with Maurice Jones-Drew for the final couple of seconds here as we get ready to wrap
Mojo.
Up. Mojo and I are going on live in about 10 minutes over on Sirius with Jim Kelly to lead things off today.
Wow.
He's not bad. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you?
You having a good week?
I didn't get off work till 11 o'clock last night, but...
Work.
Yeah, that's
what we're
talking about.
We were working the Starlight Room last night till about 1:30, baby. That's what we were working.
Really?
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful view from the Starlight Room.
We went
to eat, and then we went to Element, which was kind of a frou-frou kind of place by my standards. You know,
you get
microgreens and things like that
on
your
plate.
Right. But we went from there. We got done with dinner about 8 o'clock. We went for a nightcap that turned into a 5.5-hour nightcap. So happened to be awake this morning.
Yeah, so I think for me, we had to work the Madden Bowl, which was awesome. I got to see a couple guys that I haven't seen in a while, and then hung out there for a little bit, and knowing that we had an early morning, decided to get some quality rest.
You're a smarter man than I am. You've always known how to take care of your body better than me. Although I have had a few of your former teammates that have seen you and said, he's not taking it as good a care of me as he did his playing days.
I told him, I'm like, I had no reason to work out this first year, so I'm going to let that go, and then I'm going to get back to it after the Super Bowl.
Trust me, I am not one. As I told you, I've got a goal, 60 for 51. Super Bowl 51, I want to drop 60 lbs by this time next year.
The question is, are you going to keep it off?
No, that's the point. I want to be 60 pounds lighter than I am now when we go to the Super Bowl next year.
We've seen him take the weight off.
Yeah,
right. A couple years ago, he was like 225.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Exactly.
87, so.
Why not do it again?
I want 60. If I can hold it at 60, maybe I'll knock off 70 and put 10 back on and enjoy putting those 10 back on. That'd be okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know. I do. I'll eat it quickly.
Once I really, like, after this week, it's been crazy having a job, you know. I think we don't, I mean, football is a job, don't get me wrong, but it's a job where you work out every day. Where when you have a job where you don't work out every day or you're not active all the time, it's easy to pick up some LBs, I guess you say. Like, it's crazy. At the network, there's food always around. There's everything, so you just snack here and there. Next thing you know, man, you're pretty big.
It adds up, huh? You've been coaching high school football, right?
High school football, trying to stay active.
Concord De La Salle knocked off the number one team in the country, and so we're considered
Corona Centennial. So we ended up being number four overall. We lost our first game in Texas. We were the national number one team. So it happened, but I thought our guys did a great job, and a bunch of them went to college. One guy went to Michigan, another went to UCLA, another went to Eastern Washington. Couple to Southern Oregon. We had our quarterback. I want to say he walked on to Alabama, which is nice. So we got some guys out there, and
it's a lot of big programs.
This year we're gonna have some kids with probably more big programs. So we'll see how it goes, depending on how they work.
All right, then year seven of running with MJD. Can you believe we've made it this long together?
It's been good.
You haven't destroyed me in some way.
This is my problem. This is why I gained weight.
Yeah, I got Sour Patch right in front of you. And by the way, we're bringing this over to the set.
Awesome.
Because there's nothing else to do with that big candy bowl. But give it out. So
let's talk some Jags real quick before we have.
All right, real quick, because we're really just about out of time. Your thoughts on the decision to bring Gus Bradley back, not only to bring him back, but to extend him by 1 year.
I thought it was awesome. You know, he came to Jags at a point where we didn't have much. We were going through a transition after going through a transition. So it was a situation where he came in, we were at the bear. You know, when you have one GM who's trying to bring in his guys and get away the guys that he doesn't approve of. I want to say we only had Gene for, 2 years, maybe? 2 or 3?
Yeah, a few years. Maybe 4.
Yeah, maybe,
4
yeah.
drafts.
Maybe. Yeah. And so it takes you, when you rebuild, it takes at least 5 to 6 years to get the right players in place. And so once that went down, Dave comes in. He doesn't like some of the guys, so he tears them down, and they're trying to build it back up. And I think Gus has done a terrific job with the talent that they have there. A lot of young talent as well. So hopefully he can get these guys going. It seems like the offense picked it up a little bit.
Defense
in position, guard position, tackle position. So we need to see some of that kind of spread back over to the defense. And I think the scheme works. I mean, you see it work. It's you got to have the players to do it.
Right. They've got the cap space. They've got the need to get
sure.
the spending threshold as well. All right, Maurice Jones-Drew, season 7 of Running with MJD.
That's right.
the two of us on Thursday nights on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, now year-round for the first time.
Wow.
So
see, I stay working.
It's a big step. You are working now. You're finally working in your life, and you're adapting to it quite well. I'll see you in a few minutes over there.
All right, buddy. Guys.
All right, there he goes, Maurice Jones-Drew, Jaguar legend with you here on 1010XL, and not a better way to close the week than that. Again, big thanks to everybody today on site. Tyler Devitt, phenomenal job. Thanks to everybody at Sirius that has lent a hand to us as well here. And Tony, excellent work by you.
Thank you.
But I've come to expect that over the years, certainly. And we'll see. Good luck to everybody out there. If you've got some Super Bowl wagering going on, whatever the case may be, maybe playing a little Super Bowl fantasy. Look, I'm still in some postseason fantasy leagues as well. Enjoy the big game. Be safe. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to a Super Bowl party, use a designated driver. It's simply not worth it. So, again, thanks to all of our sponsors. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor. Our overall presenter for the week is St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, and Kevin Green, certified public accountant, helping out with those travel and hotel accommodations as well. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Agent Gibbs, for Big Country, and everybody else back at 1010XL and on-site, all of our tremendous guests this week, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. XL Primetime is next. Goodbye from San Francisco. We'll talk to you Monday, once again, live from Jacksonville on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flap.
Woo! That's great job!